It's Foot Care on the Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. A pair of feet have 52 bones, adding up to a quarter of all the bones in our body. Feet are an intricate structure, and that means there's a whole lot of issues we should talk about. Have you been wearing slippers or going barefoot in the pandemic? How has prolonged time out of your normal shoes affected your feet? Are you in a profession where you stand or walk all day? What questions do you have about relieving pain? 800-642-1234. Dr. Michael Kokat is a surgical podiatrist at Advanced Foot and Ankle of Wisconsin, based in Milwaukee. Dr. Kokat, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me on. Good morning to you.
Good morning. What can happen to our feet when we work from home going barefoot or in slippers all day?
Well, we can develop certain problems such as heel pain, arch pain, exacerbation of pre-existing conditions such as arthritis, bunions, or hammer toes.
So, you know, have you seen that at all among your patients, what they've been calling lockdown feet?
So we have seen some things. We've actually had a couple cases of COVID toes, and we've also had some issues with COVID moving to joints where we've had artificial replacements or hardware. And we've also had some patients that kind of get back in the swing of things and have some overusage type injuries that generally result in heel pain and other things that are common, such as plantar fasciitis.
Yeah. You know, some might argue work from home is a good thing for women who didn't have to wear high heels at the office. What are the effects of heels on your feet?
So women that wear high heels tend to develop Achilles tendon problems. And can also develop something that we call a pump bump or a Haglund's deformity, where we can develop some bone spurring on the back of the heel. Typically what happens is if you're wearing a high heel consistently, the Achilles tendon can shorten and cause contractures, and you lose range of motion at the level of the ankle joints. And some of these things can develop with long-term usage of high heels.
Yeah. You know, I've heard it before, but podiatrists say it's not normal for feet to hurt. So when do you know it is time to get help and intervention if your feet are hurting?
That's a really good question, and we hear that a lot. Typically, if you're going to have pain on a daily basis that affects your function and your ability to do the things you enjoy, or if you just can't wear shoe gear as we move into the fall, those are obvious signs that you need help.
Yeah. So shoe gear, can we tackle shoes here for a moment? What are some of the worst shoes people can wear that do cause foot issues?
So obviously shoes that don't have a built-in arch, such as flip-flops, can be bad for your heel and your arch of your foot. But also we see a lot of people wear Crocs, and I'm guilty of this as well. The Crocs are horrible. They really affect your feet, and they also can cause some back problems. So we're really looking for a shoe that has certain components, depending on what your foot structure is. And, you know, we want to make sure that there's a good last, a good counter. We also want to make sure there's a good arch. And some of those shoes that are made on the mass scale just don't have those things.
Yeah, what is going on there that you see in Crocs that are bad for our feet and our body?
So what we're seeing is the Croc has absolutely no arch support. And if you're a heel walker, you're going to come down very hard on that area, and it's going to cause some pressure in your lower back. And we've seen some, you know, disc problems, radiculopathy, things like that.
So, you know, depending on the size of your feet, how much toe room should you leave at the top of your shoes? Because I also understand that when you're on your feet are larger than they're not when you're not on your feet.
That's correct. So we will lose some of our arch upon weight bearing. And obviously, if you're a female and have had children, you know, you've had some of the hormones in your body that have caused some ligamentous laxity, which can cause your feet to be larger. So generally, you know, we're looking for a good thumbnail of width at the end of the toe to the shoe. And again, when we're looking at these lasts, we also have to look at the foot structure. Does the patient have a history of hammer toes and bunions? And if so, is it better to get a softer last than a harder last?
So how do you go about selecting the right size for athletic shoes? I mean, what if you want to do some jogging or some, faster walking?
Right. So you're going to want to pick the shoe based on your level of function and what sport you're going to participate in. And then we have to evaluate your foot to make sure that, you're getting the right style and the right softness so that you can be successful and not have pain.
What problems can come up if you wear shoes that are too tight? I mean, I know with my kids, it's like I feel like I'm putting them in another pair of shoes like every week because their feet grow so quickly.
Yeah, they do. They do grow. But you want to make sure there's no rubbing. We're looking for any pressure points, things of that nature. That's really what you're looking for, especially if you're, putting shoes on your children or if you're putting shoes on mom and dad that are elderly and aren't as ambulatory. We're looking for pressure points because that's where we're going to start to see corns, calluses, ulcerations, ingrown toenails, things like that develop from pressure that the foot's not used to.
We're talking with Dr. Michael Kokat, who's a surgical podiatrist in Wisconsin, as we look at foot and ankle issues, taking your questions. Do you ever had bunions or removed or currently dealing with the pain? What questions do you have about treatment in foot ailments? 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Are there any tips that you have for buying shoes for kids or how much bigger you can safely go for kids so that they can wear them a bit longer?
I wouldn't go more than a half size. You certainly don't want the shoe to be sloppy and have the child fall or develop other issues. So you don't want to go too big. But I think a half size is appropriate. But when selecting a shoe, again, you want to select a shoe that you're going to use for whatever purpose. That to have your foot structure evaluated, we need to make sure that you have the right arch, the right counter, and the right last. And any podiatrist can help with these questions. However, there are good resources out there for us. We have a lot of shoe stores that are excellent, and they have trained professionals that do this on a daily basis. And, some of those in the Milwaukee area are well-known, such as Stans, and we've got some athletic companies now that are doing, some gait analysis and helping us get into the proper shoe gear for whatever sport we're interested in.
I hear about orthopedic shoes, and I'm wondering if you can explain when those are necessary and what they do.
Sure, that's a good question, because there are different types of orthopedic shoes. The most typical orthopedic shoe you're going to see in the podiatry world is diabetic shoe gear and inserts, and Medicare pays for diabetic shoes and inserts annually for diabetics that have risk factors, such as difficulty walking, poor blood flow, venous insufficiency, neuropathy. Some of these things will allow a diabetic patient to get shoes and inserts annually. And Medicare does this for a couple of good reasons. One, we want to make sure that these people aren't developing sores, which can lead to chronic ulcers, infections, hospitalization, amputation, sepsis, and death. So if we can get them in a proper shoe with a proper orthopedic insert to take pressure off whatever areas are breaking down, it not only helps the patient, but it saves the patient from being hospitalized. It saves money, and it works out for everybody. But there are other orthopedic shoes that are of note, and these kind of go overlooked. A lot of children, young children under the age of 3, will have foot and ankle problems that may be missed by the primary care physician. That can be corrected through bracing at night with specialized type shoe gear. And this is something that we should be more proactive on because we're seeing a lot of kids that come in at 6, 7, 8 years old with foot deformities. And at that point, we're past the soft tissue forming, and now we're looking at bone growth, and there's less that we can do from a conservative approach. So if we can catch pediatric deformities early, we can, put them in shoe gear at night that will brace them and help correct that deformity.
Yeah, working on that earlier. When you mentioned inserts, what are these inserts? Where, how do they work?
That's a good question as well. There are lots of inserts in the world of podiatry. Okay, where we have accommodative inserts and functional inserts. If you're a healthy young individual, or just a healthy individual in general, and you're active, you're going to fall more into the classification of a functional custom orthotic, which is something that can be casted. We can do it through computer gait analysis. We have a 3D laser scan at our office. That's fantastic. And then there's the accommodative insert. We have these for more of the patients that have real bad foot deformities, diabetics, history of ulcers. We're using these accommodative inserts because they're softer to offload certain areas of the foot. And generally, we do these inserts through a box cast. So we have different levels of inserts. And then for children, sometimes we have to do a full cast to get a certain type of insert made that comes up higher on the rear foot, the correction foot. So, again, in layman's terms, there's an insert that's for, you know, people with a history of infection, ulcer, diabetics, and then there's an insert for the more functional individual.
We're talking about foot pain and treatment solutions with surgical podiatrist Michael Kokat with us. Have you had bunions removed, or are you currently dealing with the pain? What questions do you have about treatment? Are you diabetic? Have you dealt with foot and circulation issues? What have you done to take care of your feet? Join in any point. Your questions, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Dr. Kokat here on the Ideas Network. We're discussing all aspects of foot and ankle care on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Someone coined the term lockdown feet, and news reports of people experiencing pain in the arch or heel of their foot due to wearing poor quality shoes. And yeah, the slippers are no good. Bare feet, not helpful either. Are you curious about whether you're wearing the right shoes? Do you think perhaps you have the wrong size, or that your shoes are contributing to your foot issues? What's your experience with orthopedic shoes? Join in, 800-642-1234. Dr. Michael Kokat is a surgical podiatrist in Milwaukee with us for the hour. Let's take a call now. Mary is joining us from Rubicon. Mary, hi.
Hi, I had bunion surgery. It had to be about 35 years ago by Dr. Krebsbach in Milwaukee, and I have not had a moment of problems since then. He did just such an excellent job. I did take his advice and stayed off of each one, you know, while it healed. I didn't use it at all, and I hadn't had a moment of problems.
Mary,
I'm so happy with the results.
Thank you so much. And Dr. Kokat, explain first what bunions are.
So bunions are typical. They're generally inherited. They basically become growths of bone on the outsides of your feet as the joint dislocates from soft tissue contractures. And this can cause pain. And as the joint becomes offset, it starts to grind, so it's no longer congruent or symmetrical, and we develop a level of arthritis. There are different types of bunions. There's the bunions where it looks like we have a big bone spur on the inside of our foot, and there's bunions where we can have some arthritic degeneration on the top of the toe that can cause decrease in range of motion. That's the answer to what is a bunion.
Yeah, so at what point should you consult a doctor about bunions?
If the bunion is giving you problems and shoe gear, you're unable to wear shoe gear. If the bunion's causing pain and difficulty walking, if it's impacting your life on a daily basis or preventing you from doing the things you enjoy doing, that is when you should consult a physician.
How successful are these surgeries? Mary had very good results with hers.
Bunion surgeries are very successful. They're a repeatable procedure. There's different types of bunion surgeries for different types of bunions, and your doctor will select what is appropriate for your condition, generally based on x-rays and different angles that they will measure.
Let's talk more about diabetic foot care. Millions of Americans, have diabetes. How does this disease affect people's feet?
Diabetes is an interesting disease. It doesn't discriminate. It affects everybody differently. You can have a older gentleman in the office that, you know, maybe doesn't have the best lifestyle, hasn't made the best choices, and he doesn't have any problems. And you can have a young kid in the office, and, you know, he's healthy, he eats right, he does the right things, he exercises, and we're cutting parts off. So it really can be a devastating disease, but it affects the lower extremity in a couple different ways. The first way is when the sugar is elevated in the bloodstream consistently, the sugar will tend to fall out. And when it falls out, it's going to fall out in two different places. The first place is going to be on the inside of the blood vessels, which is going to cause claudication or decreased blood flow to the lower extremity. And the second place, it's going to fall in on the nerves. That's going to cause numbness, burning, tingling, loss of feeling. The problem with this, and when it's left unchecked, is once a patient no longer can feel their feet, they won't know there's a problem. That's one issue. And then the other issue becomes, if the person can't feel their feet, that loosens the sensory to the motor nerves, now they start to lose muscle mass, they're not walking as much, they're going into a wheelchair, and that affects the quality of their life. And the problem with the blood flow is that once the blood flow is backed up, whether we give an antibiotic by mouth or we give an antibiotic in the vein, if the blood can't get down there, the medicine can't get down there, and then the infection wins. So that's, in layman's terms, how diabetes really ravages the low extremities.
Limb preservation in patients with diabetes, I would imagine, is just so challenging, especially when your patient has multiple issues going on or multiple diseases. And, you know, I saw it in my mom, who ultimately went through two amputations. And I'm wondering if you can put this in perspective for us on how difficult it is to achieve a sound foot that is free of wounds, free of infection.
And that really is the challenge. And the reason it's so important and your question is so good is because people don't understand that if you lose a toe when you're a diabetic, you know, it becomes a snowball or a cascade. Mm-hmm. And our job is to make sure that we preserve as much below the level of the ankle joint as possible. Because if we end up going to a below-the-knee amputation, the morbidity and the mortality, what I mean by that, the lifespan is 3 to 5 years.
Yeah.
So because you're not coming back from Vietnam at 21, having lost your leg, you're 65 now, multiple comorbidities, you know, heart problem, maybe underlying lung problem. You lose, you know, a leg, that changes the volume of blood in your body, and it affects the organ systems. So as a podiatrist, if we can prevent infections, ulcers, amputation, we can stop sepsis and death, and we can give people a good quality of life and the life they're supposed to live. And that's really what we do as podiatrists. And one of the things I feel I should mention is there is a new program of Medicare support that your listeners should be aware of, and that is the Silent Sock Program. And what that sock is Medicare gives a diabetic patient 5 pairs of socks a year. They have a little device they plug into the wall at home. The socks are monitored every minute of the day remotely by a nurse, and it measures differences in temperature by a degree and differences in pressure so that we can be alerted to a diabetic that's having a problem and they don't feel it.
Wow.
And neuropathy, we see that in real time on a computer. That nurse calls that patient and says, hey, you need to get in to see the doctor right now. We get that patient in within 24 hours. Now we've prevented ulcer, infection, possible hospitalization, sepsis, and death. So these types of preventative programs offered by Medicare need to be explored by your diabetic listener population because it could well extend their life many years.
Yes, technology there really evolving. We have our foot expert, Dr. Michael Kokat, with a surgical podiatrist in Milwaukee. You can join in. Are you experiencing foot pain? Have you gone to a podiatrist to get a diagnosis? What did you find out? What questions do you have about foot care? 800-642-1234. Let's move on to nail fungus. You mentioned a number of patients have been dealing with toenail fungus recently. What is happening?
So toenail fungus is more common than you think. And we get it from a couple different ways. One, it could be trauma to the nail. Let's say we went on a hike and we didn't have the proper shoe gear and the nail became injured or lifted up. A fungus can get underneath and take over the nail bed. Other ways we get fungal infections is if we have a genetic predilection or if we're diabetic, it's immunocompromised with poor blood flow. Whatever the cause, fungal infections are difficult to deal with because they're living in the nail, which is dead tissue. So it's not like a bacterial infection that an antibiotic can cure in 3 or 4 days. This is more of a fungal infection that can take months to get rid of once we have it.
Does it typically affect just one toe or the whole foot?
Depends on the cause. If it was an injury, it could be one or two toes. If it's, you know, some type of underlying condition, such as poor blood flow, immunocompromised, a genetic predilection, then generally it's going to be all the toes.
Can it go away on its own?
Not generally. I mean, I'm not saying that that's not impossible, but generally, no.
So what are the options there? Are there topical creams or, you know, I mean, because that toenail is dead, you know, what can you do?
Right. So there are options, albeit they're limited. There are options. And one option is topical medication, but it's not as effective as we would like it to be because you have to put it on for 6 to 8 months over the course of the nail growing out to make sure you clear the infection. So there's a compliance issue. Sometimes the medication doesn't work right if it's not prescription grade. The other option is to try oral pills. Now, oral pills do have side effects. Any pill has a side effect. It's generally safe, but we do monitor your liver with some blood work and some blood panels before and during the treatment course, just to make sure there's no elevations. And if there is, we obviously take you off the medication. There's no harm, no foul, but we always want to be careful.
Let's pause there with surgical podiatrist Michael Kokat and your foot care and ailment questions. We'll pick up this conversation after a news update on the Ideas Network. We're discussing foot and ankle care on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, looking at a range of issues like ingrown toenails and plantar warts, corns, calluses, pain caused from bunions, successful bunion surgery. Also, so important, diabetic foot care, ensuring shoes fit correctly. Do you have sores on your feet you want to ask about? Are you a marathon runner? How do you care for your feet after a long run? Have you had complications? Foot complications for a long time. 800-642-1234. Podiatrist Michael Kokat in Milwaukee is with us for the hour. Let's bring in Catherine now in River Falls. Hi, Catherine. What would you like to ask?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I'm just curious on the doctor's view of the current barefoot movement in this country and elsewhere, you know, minimalistic shoes, wide toe boxes, zero heel. The idea being that you need to actually strengthen your feet rather than keep them protected with, you know, arch support and other inserts in your shoes. I'm just wondering, does he think that's a good thing or is there a negative side to that?
Catherine, thank you.
That's a good question. And there can be positives and negatives. Everybody's different, and I wouldn't recommend that type of minimalistic approach for a diabetic that's had a history of complications. However, you know, it may be okay for a young individual that has no foot problems to take that approach. I think everything's specified to the individual and what kind of foot structure and foot problems and other comorbidities that they may or may not have. It's definitely not going to be something that's going to work for everyone.
Yeah, I'm wondering, you know, as Catherine's saying, it, you know, in an effort to create stronger, more sturdier feet, should you put them through this, you know, going barefoot or using minimalist shoes?
So if you're going to do that, you have to be cognizant of what your foot structure is. So if you've got a horribly high-arched foot or a very low-arched foot, it's probably not going to be the best thing for you. You're probably going to develop issues such as hammer toes, heel pain, plantar fasciitis, arch pain, things of this nature. But if you're someone that's an athlete and maybe you're training for a specific reason and you're trying to develop more strength in your gastroc or your calf muscle, then that might be something that would benefit you.
Why do some of us end up with dry or cracked feet? And what would you say about cracked feet?
So that's something that we see a lot of, and there can be different reasons for it. The most common is a fungal infection, but we can also have other issues such as eczema that are more systemic in nature, or early psoriasis that is more systemic in nature. And sometimes we can see these fissures be specific dermatological conditions such as porokeratosis or different types of conditions that are sometimes genetic in nature.
Yeah. So if you don't have those conditions that are genetic in nature, but, you know, a certain time of year, your feet feel really dry or cracked, what can you do?
So you want to find a good topical, and if it's more seasonal, you like to think it's more of a type of eczema or an atopic dermatitis based on, you know, what you're wearing that time of year.
Mm-hmm.
But what can you do? You want to look for something that has good hydration. There are lots of prescriptions out there, and there's lots of over-the-counter stuff. Eucerin's always been a good staple if we have dryness. But if we're looking for something that is going to get rid of cracking and fissuring and calluses, you need something that has more of a debridement agent. So you're looking for something acidic. So you're looking at like a urea cream, 40%, urea acid cream. And that will help debride and take off some of that dead skin, some of those fissures and cracks, and leave your feet soft.
Catherine, thanks for the call. Let's go to Lance now in Milwaukee. Hi, Lance.
Hey, how are you?
Good. What is your situation?
Yeah, so at the end of May this year, I took my family to Walt Disney World in Orlando in our motorhome, and I had climbed up a ladder to clean all the bugs off of the windshield and fell off of it about 3 or 4 feet, and all of my weight came down on my left heel. And so it was the beginning of the trip, so then I limped through about 4 or 5 theme parks with my family for the rest of the trip. And, you know, we got back, and within about a week, week and a half, it had mostly healed. I can walk without pain now. But if I'm sitting or laying down, you know, for bed at night, I still get some achiness in the foot in that heel area. And I'm wondering if I should see an orthopedic doctor, or is this more of a situation for a podiatrist?
Dr.
Coquette,
Yeah, that's a good question. And I got to tell you, I can't believe you made it through the theme parks. I didn't hurt my heel, and both my feet hurt after that day. So I can tell you, Disney World can be quite the experience for our feet. But that being said, it sounds like, you know, he had a traumatic incident. If I were a betting man, I'd say more likely a stress fracture than plantar fasciitis. It sounds like he's moving in the right direction. It's healing appropriately. But that's a good question. Do you see a podiatrist or do you see an orthopedic surgeon? Okay, so the answer to that is very simple. It doesn't matter. You can see an orthopedic surgeon, but I would caution you, he should specialize in the foot and ankle. Or you can see a podiatrist, and obviously you want to look up the podiatrist credentials. But that being said, an orthopedic surgeon may just specialize in shoulders, so it wouldn't make sense to go see him for a foot problem, although there are orthopedic surgeons in Milwaukee that specify in just foot and ankle. Those are excellent people to go see. But that's my answer, and it just doesn't matter. You just have to look at the qualifications of the physician you're going to look at. You're going to go visit.
And in terms of heel pain, does time help? Does it just take time a lot longer to heal?
It depends on the cause. So
okay.
For this gentleman, if it was a direct injury and a stress fracture, it's going to take 4 to 6 weeks for that bone to heal. Now, if it's something different, which like plantar fasciitis, which is the most common thing we see, and that's going to have pain in the heel when you get out of bed in the morning, pain when you get up from a sitting position at nighttime after work, some of the common signs and symptoms, that may heal and come back.
So we call that recalcitrant, and just keep coming back and coming back over time. And it the frequency will depend on the individual, but sometimes those things don't heal because the ligament becomes damaged.
Yeah. Lance, thanks for the call. You can join in your questions about foot care at 800-642-1234. Perhaps you have foot and circulation problems. What have you done to take care of it? Or are you unsure how to treat your current feet? 800-642-1234. Dr. Kokat, you know, talking more about plantar fasciitis and heel pain, how does this evolve? How does it happen?
So it can happen for a number of reasons. One, it can be overusage, which is the most common. Two, it can be genetic, meaning that the ligament has a diseased portion that maybe doesn't have good circulation that becomes chronically inflamed. And plantar fasciitis is a very common complaint that we see. There are a multitude of treatments. You know, if it's acute in nature, just beginning, generally conservative treatment can get it better. If it's something that's been going on for years and years, sometimes conservative treatment will only manage the pain. So then we have to look at other options, and we can do that with advanced imaging. But plantar fasciitis is either overusage or, you know, a lack of blood flow to the ligament.
What might conservative treatment entail?
Conservative treatment can be a combination of the treatments such as physical therapy, inserts, orthotics, topical medications, stretching exercises, oral medications, injections such as cortisone, mm-hmm. injections such as stem cells, night splints that we can wear at night, immobilization in a boot for a couple weeks to calm it down. But sometimes we can do these things in tandem and kind of throw the kitchen sink at it to try to get it better.
Let's go to Jody now in Madison with a question. Hi, Jody.
Yeah, hi. Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I have a question in regards of I have had ankle problems, now have like a collapsed arch, wearing custom orthotics, but ortho wants to do what's called the All-American ankle reconstruction, which I'm very hesitant, seems fairly involved with, because I'm not having chronic pain, but I know it's affecting my knee and my hip. And I wanted to know, do you think stem cell will help with that?
Jody, how aggressive should, you know, Jody's kind of wondering too, how aggressive should you be on something like this, Dr. Kokat?
Right. So if we have a large deformity at the level of the ankle, that can affect our medial knee and our lateral hip. And we have to assess, does this hurt every day? Does this limit your function? Does this limit your ability to enjoy quality life? If it doesn't hurt every day and it hurts once a week, maybe conservative treatment and management is a better option for you. If it's hurting every day and you can't walk and you can't, you know, enjoy life, well, then maybe it's something we should look at fixing. So that's how I would gauge it, and that's what I tell my patients. I would also caution you, make sure that, you know, they do the appropriate imaging. I haven't heard of the All-American procedure. I don't know what that is. But just hearing what you said, an orthotic is probably not going to help an ankle issue. You're probably going to need more of a brace, such as an Arizona brace, maybe a UCBL device type orthotic would be beneficial for you. But if the issue is coming from the ankle and the rear foot, you're going to need something more than just a custom orthotic.
Jody, thank you. What do you see on the horizon using stem cells in various treatment modes here for feet?
So there are lots of different stem cells, and the success is variable. We have a good success for Achilles tendinosis. We have good success for tendon issues. Less successful for plantar fasciitis. We do get it covered under insurance, and it can help manage a patient's pain. Many of my patients will come back once a year for the injections. We do it under a light sedation. It's very safe, outpatient, and it helps prevent surgery and helps prevent some of these things that the previous caller was talking about. So it's more of a management tool that we use.
We have podiatrist Michael Kokat getting to the bottom of your questions on foot and ankle health. There's still time to talk. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us on the Ideas Network. We're examining pain and injury to the foot and ankle on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. According to the APMA, the American Podiatric Medical Association, there are roughly 18,000 podiatrists in the U.S., and they say our feet are excellent barometers for our overall health. We have surgical podiatrist Michael Kokat, who's with us for about 10 more minutes. Audrey in Wisconsin Rapids is with us with a sore big toe, Audrey.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. Whenever I walk, when I rotate my foot, my big toe on my right foot hurts, and it really aches at night. But when I get up in the morning, it's fine until I start walking again.
What have you tried, Audrey?
I've gone to the doctor and my regular doctor, and she told me to try to massage it and stuff like that, and put in ointments for arthritis and stuff.
Yeah. Dr. Kokat, any thoughts?
Yeah, so if it's hurting more at night, that typically is a pretty good sign that it's more arthritic in nature. If it's getting red and hot, that would be might possibly concerning for gout. It could be as simple as a bunion, which is, again, a type of arthritis. So if your doctor has diagnosed it as this and the soaks, the massaging hasn't worked, topical medication hasn't worked, then I think your next step is going to be to consider a cortisone injection and maybe a pair of custom orthotics, and that will help you out a couple different ways. The injection will bring down the inflammation, get rid of your pain, and then the orthotic will help slow down the progression of the deformity, but it'll also help reduce the frequency of when that pain is going to come back. So I think that's a good conservative management tool for you if the more home remedy items that your doctor was discussing with you do not work.
Audrey, thanks. Meg now in Burlington with foot cramps. Meg, hi. What are you experiencing?
Hi. Just at night, and not every night, but just maybe once, twice a month, I get some pretty severe cramps in my foot, mostly in the arch or in the toes. I'm not sure what causes that.
Yeah.
So we see this a lot. It can be caused for a couple different reasons. One, lack of hydration. Two, possibility you have a decrease in magnesium, other vitamins. And three, this can just be because. So how do we take care of it? Well, the first thing you should try is maybe to hydrate a little better in the evening hours. We can also try a magnesium supplement. But some of my patients will actually say they have cramping every night and it wakes them up. And what we can do is give a muscle relaxer where we just take a half pill or one pill before bed, and the cramping will go away. You'll sleep through the night and you won't have any pain. Not habit forming, and side effects are minimal.
Meg, have you tried anything else? What do you think?
No, it sounds good. I have not tried any of those things. Okay. I just get up and walk and try to get rid of them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's great. Thank you.
Thank you. Anne now in Superior. Hi, Anne.
Hi. I have a Morton's neuroma, and it flares occasionally. I'm about 50 years old, and it really interferes with exercising. It gets pretty painful. So I know one of the options is surgery, and I'm just wondering, is it something, you know, at this age, should I consider it, or should I try to hold off?
Thanks, Anne. Can you explain also, Dr. Kokat, what Morton's neuroma is?
So Morton's neuroma typically occurs in the third inner space, and generally it has, well, there's no known cause, but I believe it's probably from trauma. I've seen these neuromas develop from if you're walking improperly, if you have other issues where you're compensating for that pain, but it's an inflamed nerve that becomes a mass in the third inner space, and that can cause numbness, burning, and tingling. in the toes. It can cause difficulty in walking. It almost feels like you're walking on a bunched up sock on the bottom of your foot. And that can limit someone's activities. So I would tell this previous caller, has she tried a corticosteroid injection? Has she tried an orthotic with a metatarsal pad to offload the area and take pressure off the nerve? These are some of the initial things we should attempt. But if a neuroma has been there for a long time and conservative treatment fails, then surgery is an option. However, surgery is a little bit destructive. Once that nerve is removed, you'll have permanent numbness in that area. However, your pain will go away. And like any type of procedure, there are side effects. You can develop a stump neuroma, which happens less than 4% of the population. And there are the possibility for infection, possibility for blood clot. These are very low possibilities. But a Morton's neuroma procedure is a routine procedure. You just have to understand that there will be permanent numbness in that area after your physician removes that nerve.
And does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. You know, I guess having that pain gone would be better than constant pain.
Yeah. And thank you for the call. Kenneth now in Appleton. Hi, Kenneth.
Hello. I've got a question. I try to walk about 40 to 50 minutes a day on pavement, sidewalks. And I've noticed lately I'm beginning to develop some internal pain in the foot, whatever structure it could be, the bone or the ligaments or tendons. I don't know what's in there, but I'm going to, and I've often bought very inexpensive shoes, and I'm beginning to feel they flex maybe too much. Could that be the problem? I'm thinking of buying a pair of shoes that would hold the foot more stable width-wise, from the inside to the outside of the foot. Is that important?
That is important, and I haven't met you, and I don't know you personally, but what you're telling me is that your shoe has too much motion, and that's causing pain. So if I'm a betting man, you probably have some midfoot arthritis, okay, and you're looking for a shoe that's going to be more narrow and kind of more rigid to hold your foot so that it lessens the motion in that metatarsal area and decreases the inflammation associated with the arthritis, which would thereby decrease your pain. So I would look for a shoe, and let me give you a recommendation. Look up the Hoka shoes, H-O-K-A. They are a very well-made shoe. They have excellent padding. They're going to be more narrow to hold your foot. And if you're walking these kind of distances every day, these shoes are going to last a good 6 months to a year, whereas most shoes will break down in 2 or 3 months. So look that product up, H-O-K-A shoes. I think you'll be pleased.
Kenneth, thank you for that question. And we only have about a minute left, but Jack from Oconto wanted you to address a hammer toe and what are the surgical options. Dr. Kokat, what is hammer toe?
So a hammer toe is a contracture in one of the digits because some of your tendons are overpowering other tendons, and that can develop in a dislocation of a joint. And when the joint becomes dislocated, arthritis develops, and there are options surgically. One of the options is to remove some of the bone in that joint, getting rid of the arthritis and repositioning the toe, making it straight. Another option is to fuse that joint, okay, by putting a small implant within that joint and taking out the cartilage surfaces. Those are the most common hammer toe procedures. But they come with normal risks of any type of procedure and can be done on an outpatient basis with light sedation. Recovery time for just the standard hammer toe procedure is about 2 to 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. If we're doing a fusion, it's going to be 4 to 6 weeks.
And very quickly, those calluses that build up on our feet, what do we do about them?
So depending on the person, some patients will come in on every season and we'll pare them down. And the patient will be pain-free, and then we'll see him in, let's say we see him in the summer, we'll see him in the fall. Some patients that are diabetic need to come in every month to prevent ulceration and complications. And some patients that are functional and healthy, a simple orthotic to offload that area can prevent that callus from reforming.
Dr. Kokat, thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Michael Kokat is a surgical podiatrist at Advanced Foot and Ankle of Wisconsin, based in Milwaukee. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.